Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, he came from absolute perfection into a world that is wrecked with sin and with death and with pain, and Jesus came here. I would have landed on Mars if I were him, Jupiter, somewhere else, but he came here. Don't you think that's amazing? Think about it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 3b continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with verses 5 through 11. In just these few verses of Scripture comes the revelation of not only who Jesus Christ is, but also his power to redeem. In every situation of life, God is the only one who can get us through. He is the cure for every sickness and every spiritual challenge. He is the Almighty and therefore has all the power to help us in our trials. He is all that we need. Only God can save us, and only God can rescue us from sin. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus came here by design. His mission? To seek and to save all who are lost. Our world is wracked with sin, death, and pain. His death on the cross gives us new life and therefore access to eternity with him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Professor James Montgomery Boyce of Harvard University, also of Princeton, wrote that, and I quote, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 reveal many of the doctrines of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that in such a compact section of Holy Scripture. That's a true statement. That's a great statement. If the book of Revelation, for example, is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his return as king, then the whole of the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his power to redeem. And in these few verses, there's a great argument for the deity of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be surprised. In Psalm 40 and in Hebrews chapter 10, Psalm 40, quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says of God, behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Isn't that a great statement? From Genesis to Revelation, if you think about it, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ regarding redemption. And you guys know well now that our first argument in verses 5 through 7 regarding only God can save you now is found in this, that he saves uniquely by coming down to us. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God. It's something that he didn't have to pursue because he was. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, which led us to number 2, that he saves exclusively by going to the cross. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man. I love that statement. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Beloved, said Charles Spurgeon, there is a cure for every spiritual disease at the cross. We are often sad because we do not see the bright light that shines from the constellation, said Spurgeon, of the cross. The cross. And then thirdly, and this is where we're studying, and we have been this week, is that he saves absolutely by becoming your Lord, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we saw it this way, and it's where we left off, that he does this, and he does it in such a way, absolutely, absolutely has he revealed this truth, visible to the naked eye. Listen to this statement, visible to the naked eye is the fact that God saves us, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says in verse 9, therefore. You ought to circle the word therefore. You know, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, he's on the radio all around the world, and he talks like this. Welcome aboard the Bible bus. Simple, awesome truth, and he always says, whenever the Bible says therefore, you're going to want to know why it's therefore. And that therefore connects us to the arguments that we've been having. That God does this, that only God can save you now, and it's a crescendo. Whenever there's the therefore, it's a building up to a great declaration. And that's what we're having here right now. And it's visible to the naked eye. Therefore, that is, Jesus is the qualified Lamb of God, is what he's been teaching us, Paul. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. So that he who came down, the word means he who came down from a high and lofty place, descended down into our world. Listen, he came from absolute perfection into a world that is wrecked with sin and with death and with pain. And Jesus came here. I would have landed on Mars if I were him. Jupiter, somewhere else, but he came here. Don't you think that's amazing? Think about it. The amazing technical claims of the Bible, the linguistical accuracy of the Bible, the science of the Bible, the history of the Bible, all of these things that are facts about the Bible, it is amazing that with all of the advancement of technology throughout all of the ages, we are now here today in the 21st century, and our great telescopes are scanning the universe, and no matter what your view or position is, this is the only place that has so-called intelligent life on it. I have to say so-called because I don't know how smart we are, but we've looked out into deep space, and as of yet, there's nothing out there living. Let's just make this grand assumption for a moment. Let's say there is nothing out there. But all of it displays the glory of God and speaks forth his word. But on this little dirt ball at the end of the Milky Way somewhere is this blue planet, and there are people are running around on here. And I simply ask you this, do we need salvation or what? For crying out loud, the most beautiful planet in the observable universes, and you would think that it would be like Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. And it is an absolute miserable place when it comes to sin. And this is where Jesus came. Friends, that's not by accident. That's not because he couldn't land anywhere else. It was here by design. He came here for us. This place was created for us. We blew it. And he came back for us. And he died on the cross. And listen, he's coming back for us to pick us up. It's a great truth of the Bible. Don't miss it. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, Jesus is speaking, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus said about his own mission, that he would come to save us. And so, again, where we left off last time, verse 9, and given him the name which is above every name. We touched on this verse and we had to stop. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, Yahweh, remember that. That's the name of God. Yah. Yah appeared to Abram and said, I am. El Shaddai is his name. I am the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. He said to Abram, walk before me and be blameless. That is awesome. Walk before me. Simply follow me and do as I say. That's the word of God to us today. Follow me. Didn't Jesus come to the toll gate there when Matthew was sitting working for the Roman government? And didn't Jesus say to Matthew, come and follow me? That was the word to the disciples, follow me. And listen, when you follow Jesus, something happens. When this word blameless means, it doesn't mean that you're sinless. It means that you're walking before God with a new heart. Jesus says, follow me. There's no greater way of change than to follow someone. And by the way, you and I have been designed this way. We've been designed to be influenced. You're being influenced all the time. So am I. You and I are being influenced by the people or by the things we read or by the people we know. We're being influenced. Jesus is saying, God said to Abram, follow me and receive my influence. It'll change your life. We become like those or like what? Impresses us. Be careful, young people, what you read. A 15-second clip on YouTube is not knowledge. The cliff notes of a book is not education. It is hard to learn. It is difficult to learn, but we're to apply ourselves. But there is no greater pursuit in knowledge than to know God. You know what? I almost quoted. I couldn't quote him exactly, but I almost just quoted now a guy that's pretty smart. Isaac Newton. And all of his pursuits of science, Newton said that his discoveries led him to a deeper understanding of who God is. His scientific discoveries and disciplines didn't explain God away, not at all. He, by his inquiry, discovered more of who God is. Think of that. Brilliant. God says, I am the Almighty God. And my name is Yah, Yahweh. My name, my very name means salvation. That's the nature of our God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, the word here, Hayah, I am who I am, the eternal, self-containing one, the self-existing God. God announces to Abram, I am the eternal God. I'm El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, and my name is the Lord, Yah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, that's Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, which is Greek for Yahweh, or God saves, God our salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, that's Isaiah. We're learning about him on Wednesday nights. Quoting, by the way, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being translated is God with or God among us. This is the Jesus of the Bible. This is the one whose name is highly exalted, that God has given him this name. And the Bible says here that is above every name. And I'm glad about that. My name's Jack. What's your name? Your name has a meaning. I met a woman last week. Her name was Irene. And I said, Irene, do you know what your name is in Greek? She goes, yes, I do. I go, what is it? She goes, it means peace. And she was right. What is your name? What's your name? Is your name Judy or Jude? Then it means your name means praise or worship. What's your name? My name's Jack. What does that mean? Nothing. It means to jack, use a jack to lift up things. Now, don't get all cute on me and say, well, Pastor Jack, you lift us up on Sunday morning. If you get lifted up, it's God, isn't it? It's not me. My name simply means, in fact, if you look it up, it means an object which lifts heavy things or a particular version of the equine family. If you don't know what equine means, you don't need to know. But the Bible says, for all of us who know Christ in the end, we are in, when we enter eternity, do you know the Bible tells us we get a new name? Look, you may like your name. I don't care. I get a new name. And it's not going to be Jack. Above every name. This word here, circle it, Bible students, the word above assumes three very important things. That his name, the name of Jesus, is above every name. How so? Why? Number one, it means this. It has this implication that all see. Remember when the Bible says that the Son of Man will be lifted up, and he says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me? The world, what does that mean? It means the world has got to consider Jesus Christ. Think of it. This gospel is preached in all of the world. You say, well, what about the guy that's not hearing? He's in the jungles of South America. Don't worry, I'm coming to him. All see, above every name, all see. Number one, all must consider. Number two, all know. It implies that all know or shall know that God has a son. Because you and I are created beings, created in the image of God, and we're spiritual creatures, God reveals to his own creation the fact that he has a son. That's amazing. That's awesome. You know that. Thirdly, that he can be received. The knowledge of this is not theoretical and it is not simply educational, but it is a knowledge, the kind of knowledge God gives is to be received. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, and to all them who received him, to them gave he power to become children or sons of God, to receive. Sometimes people write me when we have an altar call and they say, Pastor Jack, why did you have an altar call? There's no altar calls in the Bible. There are no altar calls in the Bible. I get that part. But some people say, you know, that you should never say that people should receive Christ. Let me make this clear. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that we are to receive him. The issue is, how do you receive him? You don't receive him because you wore a red shirt here to church, or a blue shirt, or you're rich or you're poor. That's not how you receive him. You receive him when you wake up to the fact that you are a wretched, lost, stinking sinner, just like me. Yeah, I had to say that before you got all offended. I'm just like you. And God saves those who are lost. Only God can save you now. Only God can save me now. And that's a wonderful truth if you'll receive that truth. And when that happens, your life will be transformed. He's given him a name which is above every name. Which is interesting because, number one, it's implied here that universally, everything in the end, listen, everything, every intellect, I should say, in the end, that is when physical time ends, man, angels, demons, with their intellectual assent or reason or logic, they'll acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. You ever think of that? Demons are going to acknowledge. By the way, you've read your New Testament. When in the Gospels, Jesus appears on a scene and there's demons. Remember when he pulled up in the boat in Gadara, north, east, shores of the Galilee? Jesus gets out of the boat and what happens? A demon, a man possessed of a demon, runs up to the shore and says, Jesus, what do you have to do with us? Have you come to torment us before the time? Isn't that interesting? Demons know that they're about to be cast into hell. And Jesus cast out the demon out of that man. There's going to be a day when demons, and I wish we had the time to talk about how demons are different than fallen angels. It'd make the hair on your neck stand up. All you guys who have hair on the back of their necks, it'll stand up because it's creepy. Demons will bow. Fallen angels will bow. Angels, heavenly angels, all people will bow, says the Bible. And interesting, because the Bible claims that mankind has an intuitive knowledge of God's existence. There is an ancient, call it an effervescent or an ember, that burns in the mind of man. Dormant, perhaps, but the concepts of God are in the heart. It's amazing how it's so. And Pastor, I have a psychology class in college, and I completely disagree with what you're saying. Well, I completely disagree with your psychology class that you're enrolled in, because I'm going to tell you something right now. It is, all you have to do is do this experiment. Take a little kid, and you tell a little kid, did this banana split come to being by a big explosion and all the little parts fell together? Three scoops of ice cream, the pineapple, the bananas are there, the chocolate with the whipped cream and the cherry right on top like that. Did that come out of an explosion or was it designed? Did somebody make it? And they'll go, somebody made it. And you ask the kid, well, look at the tree. In fact, if you ask my grandson right now, hey, who made the tree? Jesus! That's his thing. He doesn't say Jesus. Say, hey, who made the... We saw some dolphin the other day. They were jumping out of the water. Hey, who made the dolphin? Jesus! You say, well, you've conditioned the kid. You don't have to condition kids. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Believing, it makes sense. And you say, oh, I disagree. Then offer up a better argument. Bring forth a better description. Give us your definition. Your definition will require more faith than what ours does for our God, who is the designer creator. Everything you experience in life, you get to enjoy by the fact that somebody designed it. Did you get here in a car? Did you throw a bunch of metal in your backyard, set off a big explosion of dynamite, and then when it landed, did you get in and drive here? It was designed by somebody. Look at the clothes you're wearing, designed by somebody. The chairs you're sitting on, designed by somebody. Everything's been designed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. This is not a contradiction. His invisible, mark it, think, attributes. That's a huge statement. We're talking about God here. His invisible attributes are, what's it say? Clearly seen. We just need to learn how to think. And can I add, we need to stop allowing people to think for us. Think. Being understood by the things that are made. Are you created? Are you made? The Bible says his invisible attributes are clearly seen to you. Being understood by the things that he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Isn't that amazing? The Bible here tells us that people know intuitively that God's the creator, he's all powerful, and there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says in his Bible, you have no excuse. Richard Dawkins has no excuse. Christopher Hitchens has no excuse. Stephen Hawking, no excuse. The resident local atheist, no excuse. And we know this to be true. When evil hurts us and wickedness attacks, or there's danger, or there's sickness, not only does the atheist have nothing to offer, but I find that the atheist asking for prayer. Like someone has well said years ago, there are no atheists in the foxhole when we're brought to the brink. The name. The word name here means the one that is presented, or the one that has been sent, or the one that is being revealed. And it's all around the context of authority. Authority has been revealed. Authority has been given. Authority has been made known. The name, the authority. Notice, it's not a authority. It's the authority. The name. Colossians 1, verse 15. Christ is the visible image. Imagine, the visible image. God walked on earth of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God, that is the Godhead, created everything in the heavenly realms. That's the celestial regions. Again, observable. And on earth, that's terrestrial, he made the things which we can see, and the things we cannot see. Isn't it amazing? You're breathing right now. Things that if you could look at it are very technically advanced. The gases that you're breathing in right now, it's very amazing. God's an amazing chemist, scientist, and you're breathing things that are invisible to your eye, aren't they? And yet you don't even think about it, but you're very glad that there are things invisible keeping you alive. And God says, oh yeah? Well, I'm behind that too.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you put your trust in the Lord, for those who have Christ have life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, with Father's Day just around the corner, we have the perfect gift idea. Pastor Jack's book of the month for June, it's called Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. This timeless book's been speaking to the hearts of men for the past 10 years with engaging illustrations, scriptural wisdom, practical suggestions, and even study questions. Disciplines of a Godly Man is called an inspiring guide for men who want to reflect God's glory in their lives through their family, godliness, leadership, ministry, and so much more.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
This newly revised edition is for every man who wants to know what it means to be a Christian in today's world. Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available right now when you give a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.